In the meantime, he also had to figure out what to do with the numerous college scholarships being offered to him. Pete had won a scholarship to the University of Southern California, where he had become one of the nation's top 10 college milers. He urged Louis to accept USC's offer, but delay entry until the fall so he could train full-time. So Louis moved into Pete's frat house, and with Pete coaching him, trained obsessively. All day, every day, he lived and breathed the 1,500 meters and Berlin. In the spring, he began to realize that he wasn't going to make it. Though he was getting faster by the day, he couldn't force his body to improve quickly enough to catch his older rivals by summer. He was simply too young. He was heartbroken. In May, Louis was leafing through a newspaper when he saw a story on the Compton Open, a prestigious track meet to be held at the Los Angeles Coliseum on May 22nd. The headliner in the 5,000 meters, 3 miles and 188 yards, was Norman Bright, a 26-year-old schoolteacher. Bright had set the American 2-mile record in 1935 and was America's second fastest 5,000-meter man behind the legendary Don Lash, Indiana University's 23-year-old record-smashing machine. America would send 3 5,000-meter men to Berlin, and Lash and Bright were considered locks. Pete urged Louis to enter the Compton Open and try his legs at a longer distance. "If you stay with Norman Bright," he told Louis, "you make the Olympic team." The idea was a stretch. The mile was 4 laps of the track. The 5,000 was more than 12, what Louis would describe as a 15-minute torture chamber, well over 3 times his optimal distance. He had only twice raced beyond a mile, and the 5,000, like the mile, was dominated by much older men. He had only 2 weeks to train for Compton, and with the Olympic trials in July, 2 months to become America's youngest elite 5,000-meter man. But he had nothing to lose. He trained so hard that he rubbed the skin right off one of his toes, leaving his sock bloody. The race, contested before 10,000 fans, was a barn burner. Louis and Bright took off together, leaving the field far behind. Each time one took the lead, the other would gun past him again, and the crowd would roar. They turned into the home stretch for the last time, dead together, Bright inside, Louis outside. Ahead, a runner named John Casey was on the verge of being lapped. Officials waved at Casey, who tried to yield, but Bright and Louis came to him before he could get out of the way. Bright squeezed through on the inside, but Louis had to shift right to go around Casey. Confused, Casey veered farther right, carrying Louis out. Louis sped up to go around him, but Casey sped up also, carrying Louis most of the way toward the grandstand. Finally, Louis took a half step to cut inside, lost his balance, and dropped one hand to the ground. Bright now had an advantage that looked, to Pete's eye, to be several yards. Louis took off after him, gaining rapidly. With the crowd on its feet and screaming, Louis caught Bright at the tape. He was a beat too late. Bright won by a glimmer. He and Louis had clipped out the fastest 5,000 run in America in 1936. Louis's Olympic dream was on again. On June 13th, Louis made quick work of another Olympic 5,000 qualifier, but the toe injured in training opened up again. He was too lame to train for his final qualifying race, and it cost him. Bright beat Louis by 4 yards, but Louis wasn't disgraced, clocking the third fastest 5,000 run in America since 1931. He was invited to the final of the Olympic trials. On the night of July 3rd, 1936, the residents of Torrance gathered to see Louis off to New York. They presented him with a wallet bulging with traveling money, a train ticket, new clothes, a shaving kit, and a suitcase emblazoned with the words, "Torrance Tornado." Fearing that the suitcase made him look brash, Louis carried it out of view and covered the nickname with adhesive tape, then boarded his train. According to his diary, he spent the journey introducing himself to every pretty girl he saw, including a total of 5 between Chicago and Ohio. When the train doors slid open in New York, Louis felt as if he were walking into an inferno. It was the hottest summer on record in America, and New York was one of the hardest-hit cities. In 1936, air conditioning was a rarity, found only in a few theaters and department stores, so escape was nearly impossible.